You're listening to Australia's fastest growing podcast network. This is the Lifestyle Pod Network. You're listening to The Dream Show with Jane Theresa Anderson.
Welcome to The Dream Show. I'm Jane Theresa Anderson, and this is episode 144. And this is one of those episodes where we have a guest on the show with a dream to interpret. Sometimes we have a guest on the show and sometimes we run a different format. I like to do both, and the feedback from those of you that email me and tell me is that you're kind of like both as well. So today is one with a guest. Now, just in case you're listening to this for the first time, you need to know how this works. When somebody comes forward and says, I've got a dream, I'd like to volunteer to come on the show and have my dream interpreted. And of course, this is something that you give as a gift. You come on the show, you don't pay for it. We phone or Skype you and we record the conversation that we have. And the only thing that I don't want to know when we do these guest shows is I want to know nothing about the dream until we start recording. So I know who the person is, I know where they live, I know what day and time we've set up to do the recording, and I don't know anything else. So the reason we do this is because so many of you say that you really enjoy that process of listening with me to the dream for the first time and listening to the way that I ask questions and pick my way around the dream so that you go through the whole process with me. It would be very fast show and a very efficient show and probably extremely enlightening if I had the dream a few days before and I had time to pick apart every segment and just come on and go, this is a dream, this is what it means. Okay, that took 15 minutes, let's move on. It's much more interesting to hear how the process goes. And the other reason is because if you're thinking of booking a consultation with me by Skype or by phone, and we now also do by email, but by Skype or phone, then you maybe want to get the feel of what would this be like? What can be achieved in an hour when you're starting by saying, oh, well, this is my dream, and, you know, where does it go from here? So we usually, the procedure is that we record the dream, and then when we finish that, we go back and put the beginning of the show on, which is what I'm doing now, and then we put the end of the show on. So that's why I can tell you that, because we've just recorded it. Our guest today is Katie, who has had a recent breakup with her boyfriend and had a series of dreams, and she brought one of these dreams to us that she believed was dealing with the breakup from her boyfriend. So what you'll hear as you listen to the dream is the insight that we were able to uncover for Katie about the relationship dynamics, about what the good things, what the bad things about the breakup, about what she can change and patterns that she's learned from childhood and all sorts of things. I won't spoil by saying any more, but it really, as Katie said at the end there, it really helped her to understand, to move past the emotional kind of feelings about the relationship breakup and really begin to understand why it happened, why she chooses the kind of relationship she does, what she can do moving ahead if she wants to heal the relationship or move on to another one, what she can do within herself to ensure that her relationships in the future and other aspects of her life in the future are more positive for her. So enjoy. Before we go there, I do have to give my website addresses in case you've come across this link from the middle of space or somewhere and you don't know the background. You can go to www.dream.net.au. That's the website where there's lots of information about dreams and also details about how you can contact me. You can go to my blog, which is www.janetheresa.com. That's Theresa without an H. A blog is a blog, of course, which means that there's hundreds of articles about dreams and life in general that you can read about there. You can also go to my shop, which is janetheresaanderson.com. There you can book an appointment to see me. You can have a dream analyzed by email. You can buy my books or ebooks. You can have mentoring. There's all sorts of things. And if you're a regular listener, by the way, I've just put some new videos up on those services pages to explain a little bit more to those of you that haven't experienced them yet, what's involved. So you can go along and press play and look at those as well. I did say Facebook. I think that's really enough because you're really here to listen to Katie. So here we go. Welcome to the Dream Show, Katie. How are you this afternoon?
I'm very well, thank you. And yourself?
Yeah, really good. It's one of those really very, very hot days in Brisbane, so I'm really glad that this is an air-conditioned studio.
I wish that I was in Brisbane right now. It's horrible down in Melbourne.
Is it? What, horrible hot and sunny or horrible thundery and...
Horrible sunny 1 minute, raining the next minute.
Oh, that's Melbourne.
Yeah, it is, isn't it?
Katie, thank you for being on the Dream Show. And as usual, I have no idea what your dream is about. So if you'd like to just tell me about it now, that would be a good way to start.
Yeah, no worries. Well, so I recently had a breakup with my boyfriend of 2 years. And ever since we broke up, I started having dreams every night about him, and I'd wake up in the morning and wouldn't really remember them, but I remember a while ago being told that if I write down my dreams, I would, like, it would help me remember them. So this was one that I wrote down that I remembered. So that day I'd previously been talking about going and playing golf the next day. So that night I dreamed about my ex-boyfriend playing golf with another girl while I was playing golf with one of my other friends. So we just happened to run into each other at the golf course. And then he was getting with this other girl right in front of me, but didn't really know who I was, like didn't know that that was me there. So it was kind of like I was invisible. Anyways, then the golf course turned into a party somehow. And at this party, my ex kept going between me and this girl and didn't know who to choose, but all of his friends kept trying to keep him away from me and keep him with this other girl. Anyway, I ended up like punching this girl and like picking her up and dropping her on her back, and she just kept laughing in my face, and that just made me angry, and I just kept trying to punch her and blah, blah, blah. Like over and over, it made me so angry, and she just kept laughing at me. Anyways, then the party kind of ended and everyone left and I couldn't see where my ex was. So I was scared that he went home with the girl. So I looked at the front and there was like a bus line, and I looked in the bus line and couldn't see anyone. So I ran to the bathrooms. And then when I was in the bathrooms talking to everyone about it, I get status updates like on Facebook when my ex updates his status or uploads a photo. And he updated his status to something like, but what do you do when you're in love? And then I kind of woke up.
Sorry about your breakup, Katie.
No, that's fine. it's a lot better now.
So how long ago was the breakup, did you say?
Well, we broke up about 5 weeks ago, and then got back together like 2 weeks ago. And then we're kind of seeing each other for like a week, and then we weren't seeing each other, and it's one of those relationships.
So its current status is on off or question mark?
Sorry?
Its current status is on, off, or question mark?
Yeah, pretty much, exactly that.
So at the end of the dream, and I'm not talking about when you woke up and thought about the dream, Katie, but in the dream, when you looked at your status update and it was, but what do you do when you're in love, what feeling did you get from that in the dream? Did you think he was meaning that he was in love with someone else, or what did that mean in the dream to you?
To me that meant like that he was saying, what do you do when you're in love, as in like he was in love with me and everyone was trying to keep him away from me, but he wanted to kind of he wanted to be with me, and like I know that in my dream I felt happy when I read that.
Right, okay. So that despite everything else that was happening in the dream, you felt that at the end of the day it was that he actually wanted to be with you in the dream.
Yeah, at the end I was very happy about the status update, and I woke up, you know when you kind of wake up out of your dream and you're happy and then you think, oh, that was a dream.
Yeah. Oh, damn, it was a dream. Okay, and just in that middle part, that really emotional part where you were basically dropping the other girl around, dropping her on her back, and you were really angry and she was laughing at me, like that was the high emotion part of the dream. Straight after that, it was like the party ended, and where is he, and then the status update. So did you get the feeling after throwing her about the floor, where did you think he was in the dream?
When I was doing that to her, do you mean?
Just after you finished doing that with her, where did you feel that he was?
I felt like they had left. because it kind of seemed like everyone was clearing out and I felt like they'd left together because they both kind of disappeared.
Right, okay, that's great, thank you. Because the words you left there, the words you used there, Katie, were everyone had left, it was like they were clearing out. I was looking to hear a word like that, and you'll understand why as we go through this dream, because sometimes just the way the words that we use when we describe a dream help with the interpretation as well, because it's like your unconscious mind is joining in. And just to sort of jump into the middle of the dream there, though I will look at all of it, you know, when after that kind of angry, really angry, let's get rid of all my feelings about this, let's, you know, we often say when we're angry, we clear the air, you know, we get something out of it, we clear it. So there's that sense of a clearing there, like the, at that point in the dream where your boyfriend and everyone else left, it was like, oh yeah, something's just left, like something's gone. I've got rid of all this anger and I actually feel better. I feel clear. And pretty soon you're in the bathroom, and a bathroom, when you think about it, is often a place where we get clean and clear. You know, we wash off the grime and dirt of the day. We come out of the bathroom usually feeling refreshed, or we might even go to the toilet while we're there. So we definitely let go of some stuff there, and we come out feeling, oh, I feel much better for that. So the bathroom is a kind of place to be in a dream, feels like a good place to kind of get rid of a lot of stuff. Oh yeah, I feel much better for that. And also the fact that you're talking with everyone about it in the bathroom, it's like, you know, we talk with our friends to really get things off our chest and feel better too. So that whole end of the dream there has that lovely sense of getting a bit, getting something off your chest, getting rid of some difficult emotions, and feeling that you've kind of cleared the air a bit. So I really like that part of the dream.
Awesome, that sounds great.
Even though the girl was laughing at you in the dream, but we'll come back to that in a minute. Now, the dream always reflects what's been going on for you the one or two days before.
Yeah.
So this dream, during the 5 weeks that you've been separated, then you, 2 weeks ago, you got back together. Can you remember when you had this dream, whether you were back together or separated, or whereabouts in the relationship was this dream?
We weren't together that day, and I'll just explain. So the Wednesday night we'd kind of called things off, and then the Thursday was when I'd organised to go play golf with my friend the Friday. And so I had this dream Thursday night, and then Friday I went and played golf. And in my dream, it's really bizarre, was that Brad was kissing another girl. And Friday I woke up and found out that on Thursday night he had kissed another girl.
Ah, okay. Oh, So at some level, you may have either been tuning in because you're close to him about what was actually happening, or at another level, because that's kind of what we begin to think, oh, but he's kissing someone else. So that you can also be dreaming about your feelings about what might be happening. So really, this dream was the day after you broke up for the first time.
The second time,
okay.
Yeah.
Which was worse, breaking up the first time or the second time?
Oh golly, they're all bad.
Okay, so that gives us some ideas. So this dream was processing the couple of days during which you not only had the second breakup, which was bad, but you were also looking ahead to what you were planning the next day and what your feelings about that what might be. Now, this girl that you were dropping on her back angrily, was she just kind of like a dream character, or was she someone that you actually know in waking life?
I'm pretty sure she was in a movie I'd watched a few days before, or possibly even in the last 48 hours.
Oh, good. And can you get it a bit clearer on that as to who she was?
I know like exactly who it is, but I don't know the actor or anything. It's in like a really lame movie called Sleepover.
All right, okay.
You've never heard of that, but she was just like a tall brunette that was in the movie.
Right. So when you think about her, that the tall brunette in the movie, either the character or the actor, in the dream, did she remind you of the character that she played or the actor herself?
Yeah, she did, because in the movie it was kind of not a similar situation, but the girl that was picking up Brad in my dream was picking up a guy in the movie as well, and he was supposed to be with someone else.
Oh, okay. So that was her character too. In the movie, did she pick up the guy knowing that he was really supposed to be with someone else, or was she totally innocent?
she was innocent because they were both kind of dating the same guy, but neither of them kind of knew.
Okay, that's okay. So if you could describe her personality in three words, what would it be?
She seemed really like posh, I guess.
Yeah.
And real, like in the movie as well, like they were kind of fighting and throwing each other around, fighting for this guy. So I don't know, they both seemed kind of desperate.
Yes.
I don't really know how to explain it. Really stuck up.
Yeah.
That kind of, does that explain?
It does. You've said posh, desperate and really stuck up.
Yes.
What's the opposite to posh?
Oh, golly. I wouldn't even know. No, probably just like kind of, not bogan, but that's how I'll kind of explain it. Like, I know a lot of the time I'll explain, like, my rich family is posh and then, like, my other side of the family that wears, like, shorts and thongs and stuff is the opposite of them.
Okay.
I don't know whether you say bogan or not.
Yeah, that's, no, bogan's great. Are you saying that did you mean your actual family is half posh and half bogan? Is that what you were saying?
Yeah, in a sense.
Okay, I'm just gonna translate that, Katie, for our overseas audience.
No way.
But bogan is a particular Australian term. I think it comes from the bogan moth. I can't remember. There is a reason why. But bogan means kind of it's a culture of its own. It's definitely not posh, but you're proud to be bogan. I think that's kind of like the best way to put it. It's very suburban, outer edgy suburban. Would you be able to describe it for our international audience any better than that, Katie?
I don't think so. I think you summed it up pretty well there.
Okay. So you've got posh and the opposite to that is bogan. What's the opposite to desperate?
Yeah, desperate.
What's the opposite to desperate?
The opposite of desperate would probably be just carefree, I guess, like.
That's lovely. That's good. It's whatever occurs. It's the first word that pops up that I want. And last of all, the opposite to really stuck up.
Shy.
Okay. So what happens is that when you were watching that movie a couple of days, that character really stuck in your mind as it resonated with something within yourself. And that's why you've brought her into the dream to kind of explain your feelings about what you're going through at the moment. And usually when we ask, say, you know, what are the three words that you would use to describe someone, usually at least one of those is the issue that is that your dream is dealing with. So, you know, you've got posh at one end of the spectrum and bogan at the other, and you've already said to us that your family has two cultural influences, really. One is posh and rich, and the other is bogan and a different culture. So, you know, as we all know, when we come from families where we've got two different cultures inputting, it can leave us very confused from time to time. Well, you know, which am I? I've acquired the set of beliefs from the posh arm of my family about how life should be and how I should act. And I've acquired this other set of beliefs from the bogans, and they both kind of look good to me or look bad to me. You know, we get conflicted. So partly that may be one of the issues that you're dealing with in the dream is, who am I? Am I, how far towards the posh end am I? And how far towards the bogan end am I? And how do I deal with people that are the opposite to that? The other one I really like, desperate versus carefree, and we'll probably come back to that. There may be something that you're dealing with in terms of, Katie, of needing to be in a relationship, kind of sometimes feeling, if I'm not in a relationship, I'm not happy. I'm desperate to be in a relationship. I'll do whatever it takes to stay in one. Or the complete opposite, which is, I'm really a carefree person. And I really, that's kind of challenging when I'm in a relationship because I don't like to be tied down. So there's this kind of two ends which do really apply to relationship there. Desperate on one end, desperate to have a relationship, and on the other end, carefree, which makes having a relationship really challenging. So that's kind of like another issue that the dream may be dealing with. And the third one you've got there, really stuck up versus shy. I love that because, you know, I and probably everyone else listening, apart from you, is going, how come shy is the opposite to really stuck up? I didn't get that. So, but it is for you because you said it. And so when you get those really weird connections, like, what? How come? That's probably deeply meaningful and insightful about you. So there may be this other issue within you about shyness versus if I'm don't want to come across as shy, people are going to think that I'm really stuck up. Or if I'm come across as really stuck, I think it's that kind of way around. So one of those issues is really important that you were dreaming about at the time of the dream. So in the dream, if you think everyone in a dream represents something about you, so this girl, this actor, this character from Sleepover represents something that you're struggling with. More than that, Katie, clearly in your dream, she represents something that you're really angry about.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. And so she's an energy within yourself or a belief within yourself that is important around your relationship that you're really angry with. It's almost like, why did you do whatever it was you did that ended our relationship? Or why did you go and do that because it just ended our relationship? Why did you go and muck up our relationship? I'm really angry about it. I'm going to take it up because whenever anybody has a dream where they're showing extreme anger or extreme violence, it's usually because you're the kind of person that just does not express that in waking life at all. Like nobody would ever know that you get angry or you feel angry. You hold it down. And the only place that it can be expressed is in your dreams. It's like, I've got to get this angry, violent feeling out. So there's some part of yourself that's really angry around the relationship or around the breakup that's got to do with at least one of those issues. How you or he were either posh versus bogan, or desperate versus carefree, or really stuck up versus shy. Does any of that, does one or more of those kind of ring a bell for you as being relevant to that relationship at the moment?
I think, like, it sounds really spot on with me too. Like, I don't feel like I'm not happy if I'm not in a relationship, but I do feel like I'll do whatever I could to stay in my relationship. Whereas then it's kind of Brad who's on the other end, who thinks that, like, you know, our relationship had been really challenging lately and was just really hard and, like, that kind of thing, and that's kind of why he wanted to break up.
Right, okay, that makes a lot of sense. So when he was saying it was challenging and hard, was that around issues of him wanting to be more carefree, for example, or other issues? But what can you tell us about what were the maybe one or two key things for him, because that's important for the interpretation?
It was kind of mainly because we'd been fighting a lot lately, and I don't know whether it was because obviously he wanted, I don't know, you know how boys just want to do things, no strings attached, just want to be able to do whatever they want. Like, that could be the reason. But like I say, it's very challenging because he'll want to break up but then we'll want to get back together.
Yeah.
So
wants the best of both worlds.
Yeah, it's partially the type of person he is. Like, a lot of things have happened in his life that make him, like, he's very scared of fighting, and when things are really hard, he does tend to just give up on them.
Yes. Okay, so that's, thank you for that, Katie. That's really opened up a lot there. That's really helpful. So you've said that, you know, for Brad, for example, his ideal relationship at this stage in his life would be one with no strings attached. So that's carefree. And as you say, for yourself, you wouldn't describe yourself as desperate to be in a relationship, but you will do whatever it takes to stay in a relationship that you want to be in. So if you take that kind of line from desperate at one end of the scale to carefree at the other, you're both on that line in almost opposite corners.
Yeah.
So that was one of the issues you were fighting over. So that's one thing. And the other thing, as you're saying, that he's scared of fighting. So he doesn't, is he scared of expressing his anger and emotions?
Yeah, he's really bad at dealing with confronting situations.
Mm. So that leaves you feeling, I don't want to be angry, or I don't really want to blow a volcano here, but it would be really helpful to me if he would express his emotions, because then we could meet on even ground.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're it's made even harder for you because you're pushing those emotions down and pushing those emotions down. So no wonder you blow them out in the dream. You've got to get that anger out.
Yeah, it's like, oh, like even in person, like I would say something and because I'm very good at talking and I'll get nothing back, which would make me angrier and angrier.
So that's what you've got there, Katie. That's beautiful when you say you're very good at talking and you'll say something, but you'll get nothing back. That goes right into that part of the dream where you say that you seem to be invisible, you know, at the beginning?
Yes.
So it's like that. When somebody isn't giving you anything back or apparently not hearing what you're saying, even though they're hearing every word, it gives you the feeling like, what, am I invisible or something?
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah, so we've got that playing in your dream. At this stage, Katie, we're just picking out from your dream the bits in your dream that are reflecting what was happening for you around that time. So we've got the feeling of being invisible and how frustrating that is. Nobody should be, you know, made to feel invisible. That's frustrating. We've got the sense of your dream processing. Look, I hold back my anger. I can't find a way to express my feelings because he's not listening. So I'm holding them back within myself. And this other issue that we've identified, which is, I wouldn't say I'm desperate, but I do whatever it takes to stay in a relationship that I want to stay in. And unfortunately, I'm in a relationship where he seems to want to be carefree. And probably the more that I'm doing things to stay in the relationship, probably the more he wants to get out of it and be carefree.
Yeah.
And the irony is, if you actually said, look, I'm over it, I actually want to be carefree here, he'd be running back. And that's why he wants to be with you and yet not be with you. Is it the times when you basically give him the message of, okay, right, well, I'm over it, I'm on to something better? Is that when he wants to come back?
No, that's happened before, but recently, like you just said then, like, I'm trying to be a little bit more carefree too, and it's working better.
Good, yeah. So that is working better, being more carefree.
Yeah, it is.
And so that may be why in the middle of the dream, when you get rid of all that anger, and I said to you, I was like, oh, everybody left in the dream. Like, oh, the pressure's kind of off. I wonder where they've gone, but I'm curious. And that sense of everybody clearing out and then that lovely status update, which you thought, yeah, I like that. You know, what do you do when you're in love? What do you do when you're in love? You get together and you communicate and you resolve some of these issues. But it takes two to do that.
Exactly.
So you've identified this carefree thing. So if we actually remember that in the dream, although he appears to be Brad in the dream, again, just to, you get the most out of the dream if you look at everyone as being an aspect of yourself. So the way to understand this is we tend to be attracted to people in a relationship, not attracted as a once-off attraction or a fling, but attracted to someone to be in relationship with if it resonates with something that's going on for us. And sometimes we are attracted to someone to be in relationship with because they complement us nicely. You know, their energy goes well with our energy and we can grow and do wonderful things together. And sometimes we are attracted to someone because we think that they make up for our own deficiencies.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a common thing. And unfortunately, when that happens, that can be when there's a lot of difficulty and fighting in a relationship because that's not how the other person sees it. You know, they're attracted to you for different reasons. It's kind of we're really in an ideal world when you're attracted to someone into a relationship. It'd be really good to find out, well, what attracted you to me? What, because this is what attracted me to you, and actually kind of take notes and see if they blend together. But you've got that feeling of, that status update. But what do you do when you're in love? You find out, well, what does in love mean? And when then do you communicate to see if you can build a relationship? But what I really want to go back in is this feeling, is two big things, Katie. This feeling of being invisible and this feeling of, which you're addressing really beautifully now in your life, of trying to be more carefree. When you look back over your life and all the influences you've had in your life, do you remember a time when you kind of got into trouble for being a bit carefree?
Not really. I think, like I say, like I always used to be very like happy and carefree and didn't have any worries. And then like I got with Brad and he was my first boyfriend, and then like I say, it was kind of being the other way around that got me a bit in trouble, like being too not needy, but if you understand what I mean by that, like always having to contact Brad and stuff like that and be around him. And that was kind of what got me in trouble more, which is why I'm now trying to be
the other way around.
Yeah, and just less dependent on him. I found that when we did first get together, I was always independent my whole life, and then I became very dependent. So I'm just trying to get back to that, being independent, but still having him there.
Yeah, I think that's the really crux of the matter here. How you know, if you're ultra independent, it's really difficult to have a relationship. It's how do you cultivate the kind of independence you're talking about, which is being the person you are and being, you know, not having to make apologies for who you are and what you do, not having to rub away at the edges of your character to fit into a relationship, isn't it? That's what you mean by independence in a way, to be who you are and do the things that you do. How in a relationship do you maintain that independence while still interacting and building a lovely relationship? So I like that you said you've been independent all your life until this relationship. Was one of your parents particularly dependent on the other?
My mum was probably more dependent on my dad, but my mum and dad did get divorced quite a few years ago. But they broke up and we moved out, and then they got back together and then they broke up again, and then it's been final since then. But, yeah, I definitely do think that my mum was more dependent on my dad.
Yeah, so you're repeating a family pattern here, are you, Katie? Break up, get back together, break up again.
Seems like it, doesn't it? I think I've done it a few more times.
So you've got that sense that your mum was more needy and more dependent on your dad. And do you remember as a child how you viewed that? Have you any feeling for whether you admired her or got frustrated for what she was doing?
Not really frustrated at mum, but I think it does come across, like, now thinking about it, that, you know, I'm not a big drinker, my mum's not a big drinker, my dad was a big drinker, and Bradley's a big drinker. So my dad used to always go over to, like, his shed and his bar and go drink, and mum would always, you know, get annoyed at that. And I think it kind of reflects to me now that I kind of do that with Brad. Like, we'll be like, why are you drinking? It's a Monday night. Like, you know what I mean? Like, why do you do that?
Yeah.
So it seems like I'm doing, in a way, doing a very similar thing.
That's right, yeah. Rather than being carefree and saying, well, you know, either two carefree options. Option number one, drink whatever you like. You know, there's other things that I love about you in this relationship. I'm going to go and do something exciting myself. And option number two, I don't really want to be in a relationship with someone that's a big drinker. So, you know, I'm going to be carefree and go somewhere else. So, but what you're recognising there, Katie, is that that the pattern that in a sense in your relationship with Brad, in some part of your relationship with Brad, you were bringing in the guidelines that you learned from your mum.
Yeah.
And learning beautifully now, as you've just told me and told us, that's not necessarily the way to go, and it's better to be more carefree. You get better results.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, that character in that movie, in Sleepover, was drink involved in that scene or her?
Sorry,
was drink and alcohol involved, one of the themes in Sleepover?
I don't think so, not at that stage. It was at like a senior formal or something, but no, there's no drinking that was obvious.
So that wasn't an issue. Now, just jumping about golf, do you often play golf?
No, never. And a week before, like when I was hanging out with Brad and his friends were talking about going and playing golf, and then like that week later I was talking to one of my friends and we've just been really bored lately with nothing to do, so we just decided to go play.
Good. Never, I love that. And you know, you broke up on the Wednesday and you already knew that you were going to be playing golf on the Friday. Is that my understanding? Did Brad know that you were going to play golf on the Friday, or did that happen after the breakup?
No, we only planned to play golf the Thursday.
Okay, after the breakup.
Yeah, so then we went and played Friday.
I wonder, at some level you say you were bored, so you went, the idea of the golf was to go and do something completely different, wasn't it?
Yeah, just doing something to just for the hell of it, really.
Great. And when you do something just for the hell of it, really, it's not only carefree, but it's also independent.
Yeah.
Right. If you'd gone round about the clock a few days and you'd still been in a relationship with Brad and you'd said, hey, I'm going to go and play golf tomorrow, how would he have responded to that?
I think he would have been fine with that, but I think the big difference is that if I was still with Brad, I probably would have gone and played golf with Brad and his friend rather than the person I like brought it up to and went and played with.
Right, and that was more exciting to go out with a friend that you brought it up with, do you think, than it would have been with Brad and his friends? Well, I'll rephrase that, Katie. When you went out on the golf course with your chosen friend, were you... Did you behave differently? Did you approach the day differently? Was the experience different for you than it would have been if you'd gone on the golf course with Brad and his friends?
Maybe a little bit, just because I went one-on-one with one of my really good guy friends, whereas if I had gone with Brad and his friends, it probably would have been a bit different. But I think if I had gone with Brad on his own, it would have been quite similar.
Yeah. So there wasn't a sense that you were feeling more like yourself or less cautious about what you were saying or doing when you went with your friends?
No, not really. I think I would, I don't intend to act any differently around Brad than I do with my friends.
Okay, that's great. That's really good. That's good. So that blocks that area, that path I was going down. Because I was wondering, sometimes when a relationship isn't working well and someone's treating you as invisible, change the way that you respond to them to try to get them to like you. Whereas when you go out with people that you've got no emotional involvement or you're not particularly concerned about any outcomes, you're just relaxed and can be more yourself. And I was just looking to see whether that was a feeling you had, but obviously not.
No, I don't think that is an issue.
Okay, so we'll come back to when you said, well, golf, you've been feeling bored and you were thinking, oh, we want to go out and do something that's totally different just for the hell of it, all right?
Yeah.
And just for the hell of it is almost like being independent in a well, like I've got this great idea and I'm going to go and do it regardless of what anyone thinks.
Yeah.
Just for the hell of it. So because that's not something that was easy to do in relationship with Brad, I'm just going to go and do something just for the hell of it, because you were always considering the effect on the relationship.
When I'm with Brad?
Yeah.
No, not really, no? Because we both kind of just like do what we want. I think my problem when I'm with Brad is that I would rather do things with him. Not all the time. I'm better now. This is probably back a while ago. But I would rather do stuff with him than other people.
Yes.
But I've gotten better at that. Like the guy friend that I went and played golf with, I'm still catching up with him and hanging out with him and stuff like that, even though I am seeing Brad a little bit again.
So that's a change for you?
Yeah. Well, that's what, like, I'm really trying to, like, this time I become really independent when I'm not with Brad.
Yes.
And then as soon as I'm with Brad, like, I need to talk to him all the time and rah, rah. So I'm just trying not to do that and fall back into that pattern again.
Yeah, that's very wise. You're definitely doing the right things. And can you see how some of the issues that the dream has brought up are those very issues that you've already noticed by yourself?
Yeah. Very interesting.
Mm. So when you look at your mum was more dependent on your dad. And do you feel that, was there any anger going on in their relationship?
Yeah, like I think the anger mainly came from dad and then mum. Like, you know, there was a lot of times I did see them fight when I was younger and mum would always end up in tears, and a couple of times dad just left or went over to the bar and that kind of thing.
Mm. But of course he wouldn't have been laughing at her, but he had a very offhand response to it.
Yeah, no, I don't think he ever laughed at it.
Mm. So we got this girl in the dream that was laughing at you. The more you were angry with her, the more she was laughing at you.
Yes.
Where do you experience that in life? Where do you have that feeling in life that it's like, no matter what I try to say and express here, all I get is this feeling that someone's just laughing at me?
I don't really know. There was this situation, when me and Brad broke up last week, somebody tried to get with me.
Mm.
And I ended up getting really upset over it. And all my friends found that really funny and laughed about it.
Ah, yes.
But I didn't really find it
funny. You didn't find it funny. Okay, that sorry?
That happened the Wednesday night.
Yeah.
And then everyone laughed about it the Thursday. So that
fits in with the dream, doesn't it? Are you still there, Katie?
Yes.
Yeah, that fits in with the dream.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm. So that's another level of it that, you know, that you were angry and your friends were just laughing at you, like, you know, lighten up, be a bit more carefree. It's all, you know. Why do you think they were laughing at you?
Oh, well, they just found it funny that, like, someone tried to get with me outside of bawling my eyes out.
Yeah. So there's that happening in the dream, like, you know, they found it funny, and maybe it was, but that wasn't the issue that was upsetting you at the time. It's like, yeah, there's all that going on, but I've got all this anger going on within myself about serious things. It's a bit like at the beginning of the dream when Brad was not noticing you were there and you were invisible. And it's, yeah. And in life, in your relationship, when he's been treating you as invisible, you know, no matter what you've said or tried to say, he's just basically not heard you. So the same with your friends. It's like they're laughing at the situation, which probably is quite funny, but not when you've only just finished a relationship and you're trying to explain to them, no, actually, you know, I've got this relationship problem I want to talk to you about, and you're all making too much light of it.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Mm. But also notice how, back to what I said at the beginning, Katie, in this dream, after the anger in the dream, there's the clearing.
Yeah.
And you're in the bathroom in the dream and everything's clear and you've got that lovely status update at the end. So there's a feeling that once you get the anger out,
yeah,
everything's clearer, it looks different. And in a sense, your friends are kind of right in a way, because it is important to listen to when someone's angry. It's important to listen to our deepest, darkest emotions. It's really important for us to know our negative emotions or know our anger. We all have anger from time to time, and it's really important to feel that and know it, because the only way you can get it out of your system is to really feel it, acknowledge it, and then let it go. And then when it's gone and you feel lighter, guess what? You start laughing.
Yeah.
You know, you start laughing. But they weren't really totally in the journey to realize that you still needed to get into that anger first. But in the dream sense, there's a part of yourself, because everyone in the dream is an aspect of yourself. In the dream sense, there was a part of yourself that was already laughing, going, no, yeah, get it out of your system. Just hit me more. Go and whack me. Throw me across the floor. Land me on your back. Scream, shout, because this is great. Because when you've got all of this out, we can all have a good laugh about it and we can move on and feel more carefree and independent.
Yeah.
So it's really great that you got that anger out in the dream.
Awesome. It makes, like sometimes me and Brad would have little fights and then would laugh about them.
Hmm.
Because I was stupid, obviously. So.
so they're the good ones. Yeah. And then there are other fights where you haven't got as far as laughing just yet.
Yeah. Like there's just other ones that just go, well, the reason they become such big issues is because we'd have a fight and I'll try to sort it out and he'd ignore it for a bit. And then I'm the type of person that doesn't want to just let it go without sorting it out first.
Mm, yeah.
Like, and that's the thing, like you said there, like, feel it, acknowledge it and let it go. Like, I tell Brad and all I want him to do is acknowledge it so he can let it go, but I think that whole acknowledging step was missing.
Yeah, yeah. That's right. It's, sadly, it happens in so many younger relationships, doesn't it, where men have not quite learned the art and the importance of listening and acknowledging emotions and feelings. And if only they could learn it at a younger age, it would make us all so much happier.
Yeah, exactly.
So first of all, step one is within yourself. Like, you can understand this dream. You can understand from this dream why you sometimes feel invisible. Like, the dream goes for drama. So those times when you feel slightly ignored, your dream is going, make that invisible. Like, that's how bad that feels. Times when you feel slightly annoyed, your dream goes, make that angry. Let's just call a spade a spade. You know, you are angry. Your dream helps you to remember that when you actually do get in touch and acknowledge that anger and really feel it, even if it's just within yourself with no, without without anyone else in the room, that you can then start laughing, you become lighter, it feels good. And this dream has also brought up for you those that recognition that there may be some family patterns that consciously or unconsciously you've picked up from your mum, and you may be replaying slightly. And that's just an awareness thing. Once you notice that, you'll catch yourself. If you do it again, you go, I'm not doing that. I'm just doing that because that's how mum related to dad. And I'm not going down that track again.
Yeah.
You know, and you've learned to be more carefree. So, you know, I guess you have two choices. One is, do you examine this relationship very carefully? Does it have potential legs? It seems it would only have legs if Brad will start listening and making you feel visible.
Yeah.
And if you start acknowledging your anger, and if you commit to enjoying being more carefree and independent.
Yeah.
And it feels like it doesn't have legs if Brad can't get to the point of really being interested enough to really understand how you're feeling. So, you know, you have to make that call. Is this a relationship that you feel is worth putting in a lot of investment of your time and energy or not? Because on the other side of anger is laughter, you know, on the other side of loss is finding something new. And that's a decision that only you can make. But this dream has brought out a lot of the key things, you know. Why move towards needy and dependent when you can be carefree and independent? Simply because I'm not saying that one is good or bad, but you are repeatedly telling me that you feel it's better to be carefree and that you actually prefer to be independent because you've always been independent and you actually prefer that kind of feeling within a relationship to be independent. And yet, even though you prefer that, it's not what you've been playing in the relationship.
Yes, that makes a lot of sense, I think.
Mm. So the dream helps you to see that, and then you can make those decisions. Okay, if I stay with Brad, one of the things that I'm going to have to be very careful is that I'm either going to become more dependent and I'm going to know why I'm doing that and I'm okay with that, or I may be becoming more dependent and that's not what I want, so I have to negotiate with Brad so that doesn't happen, or this relationship is not going to work for me. I need a relationship where I can be independent and carefree.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Mm. So has this helped you to understand your relationship with Brad and why it's been on again, off again a bit more?
Oh, definitely. And it definitely helps show kind of connections between, like you say, even my parents and just things with Brad and situations that have happened. It shows how everything kind of connects and it makes a lot more sense looking at it now.
Yeah, it does, because in the moment with any relationship breakup, whether the relationship is a great relationship, whether it's a really bad relationship or somewhere in between, you know, we're in that relationship because we want to be. And when it breaks up, the emotional impact is so horrible, isn't it? That all you can feel is the emotion. And that's good to feel that emotion and to know that you'll come out of it. But when you're in that emotion, it's hard to think or to see things, you know, to clearly or to reason things out. And going through a dream like this does help to put things in context, and that can be really helpful.
Yeah, it has been really, really helpful.
Okay, that's wonderful. So usually there's a two-step process. You know, step one is interpret the dream, and step two is do a dream alchemy, which is a way of thinking, well, how would I like my life to be a little better? And then I give you an exercise based on your dream symbols to nudge your unconscious mind or your unconscious beliefs to help life to work out more in the way that you would like it to be. So of all the things we've discussed, and some of them are wanting to be more carefree, wanting to be more independent, wanting to be heard. Of all the things we've discussed, which one particular thing rises to the top of your mind as, yeah, I'd really like to be able to get a bit more help in being a bit more like that?
Probably carefree, just because, like, I know that there's certain things I'd love to be heard about and stuff like that, but I know that a lot of the things I want to be heard about aren't that big of a deal, and if I was more carefree, I wouldn't care about them.
Yes, I understand. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So in a way, what you've already said there too is that maybe some of the things that you have wanted to express have not really been that important to communicate to Brad. They're important for you to recognize yourself and definitely acknowledge, but are not priorities for communication. So that lessens the seriousness of the relationship. Oh my God, have we got something else we've got to talk about? That's what you're saying, yeah. So awareness is one thing. I'm just looking at the dream to work out how we can do a dream alchemy to enable you to feel more carefree. Would you say that girl that you were thrown about on the back, but was she carefree or not?
Yeah, I think she was, just because, you know, like there was a whole group of people there telling, like, you know, obviously one of them was like, it's my boyfriend. And then she was like, no, it's my boyfriend. Mm-hmm. And she didn't really seem to care what everyone else thought. She was going to fight for her partner, if that makes sense. And it again, like I say, saying it like that makes me realize how much maybe I am very similar, because in saying that, like I've said to a lot of my friends, like me and Brad have been through a lot and my friends have always been there for me, but at the end of the day, like you are going to fight for what you want regardless of what anyone else thinks.
Fight for what you want regardless of anyone else thinks, and fight for what you truly want, making sure that you're not fighting for something that your mum would have wanted.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's being very aware of. So for each thing, when you think, right, I'm ready to fight for what I want, and that's good, Katie, that's great. You know, it's great to go, yeah, I know what I want. I know what I'm passionate about. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to get it, whether it's relationship, work, career, happiness, anything. It's good to know that and go and fight for it, or maybe not even fight for it. Maybe fight, maybe there's a better word than fight. Maybe it's just go out and get it. You know, do whatever it takes, but get it. Maybe we can get things without fighting for them. Maybe we get things by just going out and going, yeah, this is what I want. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. It doesn't feel like fighting. It just feels energetic, and it feels like I'm putting energy into it, and it feels exciting, but it doesn't feel, fighting's got that feeling of I'm working against a resistance.
Yeah, okay.
All right, so to be able to go and get something without that resistance, like, yeah, everything, oh, I've got all the energy with me. I know what I want, and hey, it's actually happening. I'm not even having to fight. Would be even better, yeah. But I hear what you're saying, that you're endorsing the fact that you don't want to be so carefree that you don't get what you want. You do know what you want, and you want to go out and get it, and that's who you are. So it's really important that every time you feel that, particularly around the relationship, you feel, yeah, I know what I want, and I'm going to get it. Just stop, ask yourself a question. Do I really want this, or is this something that mum would have wanted? Am I copying an old pattern? Even am I copying a posh versus bogan conflictual pattern here, you know, or am I? And once you've decided that you really, really do want to have it, then maybe instead of having a feeling of fighting for it, to bring up a feeling of just laughing out loud, hey, I've got it, I know what I'm gonna do, yay, hey, laugh, I've got it, I'm gonna, oh look, it's there for me. And you know, when you're laughing, you're not fighting, you're just going, yeah, it's mine, look at this, I know it, this feels so good, you know, to laugh instead of fight. So I don't really mean to get up and laugh in people's faces, but to get that feeling within yourself that if I come into something that I really want to get, and I have a feeling of being happy and laughing, and maybe even seeing the funny side, and maybe that funny side is, I've always thought I had to fight for this and I don't, it's just there for me the moment that I feel carefree and independent, isn't that funny? That is a better frame of mind to work in than a frame of, I've got to get out and fight for it because I feel that there's going to be resistance to this and that's going to make it really hard for me. Subtly different. So what I would like you to do for your dream alchemy is, would you like something to visualize, or some kind of artwork, or some kind of work with words like writing?
I don't mind either.
Okay, I'm going to give you a children's story to write, and you just do this for yourself, and you're probably going, oh my God, I can't write a children's story. This is something that you set your timer for about 15 minutes and you don't take any calls, and it's just really silly. It's not well written. And what you're doing is you're writing a one-page story for a five-year-old.
Yeah.
And it's a story about, it's called The Little Girl That Got What She Wanted. The Little Girl That Got What She Wanted. That's the title of it.
Yeah.
The little girl that got what she wanted. And the only instruction is that when you write the story for five-year-olds, it's very simple. It's got to end where or some part of the story where instead of fighting for what she wanted because she was happy and laughing, it came to her easily.
Yeah.
You say? So it could be really simple. You can either throw it away at the end or you can put it somewhere, you'll keep it. And then whenever you get that feeling of, I'm going to go out and fight for something, just stop and go, yeah, number one, is it something I want to fight for me, or is it an old family pattern I'm doing here? And if it's something I want for me, just remember your children's story and think, yeah, that's the way to do it. And what that is doing is it's actually retraining your unconscious mind to approach things from a more light-hearted and carefree, which is what you want, a light-hearted and carefree point of view, which is going to succeed more so than a fighting attitude. Does that make further sense?
Yeah, it does.
Okay, that's great. Let me know how you go, Katie.
Yeah, I definitely will.
And thank you so much for sharing your dream. I'm sure, you know, we've all had relationship issues at various points in our lives, and I'm sure everybody, including me, is all out there wanting the very best for you. And you've helped us to understand our own relationships by bringing this one to the show more clearly too. So thank you so much for that.
No, thank you. You've been a great help, and you've really helped me understand everything that my dream could have meant, because before it was just golf and a party, and now there's all these things that I can, you know, connect it with in my own life and help to improve my own life.
That's wonderful. It's a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm sure you got a lot out of listening to that dream. Whether or not you've got relationship issues, all dream interpretations help us to understand our lives more clearly. And by listening through to that, you begin to learn or deepen some of the skills that you've got to interpret both your own dreams and other people's. So, and of course, we also get to be a fly on the wall and look into someone else's life very deeply and wish them all the well. We wish you well, Katie. I really want to point out too that this is episode 144, and if you've just got this on a random link and you're thinking, where do I listen to all the others? If you're listening through iTunes, because this is on iTunes, you only ever get the last 10 shows. Well, that's 10 hours of listening. That's probably enough for anybody. But if you actually do want to go back through all 144 and listen to them, the place to go is you can go to the dreamshow.tv, but it actually redirects now. The best place to go is to my blog, janeteresa.com/podcasts, in the plural, /. So that's janeteresa.com/podcasts/. And there you'll find that you can listen to all 144 shows. Might take you quite a while. And if you'd like to be a guest on the show, you'll notice in the side panels there information about how to contact me and say that you'd love to volunteer to be a guest on the show. And I think that's enough for now. This show comes out once every 4 weeks. So the next one, episode 145, will be published on the 15th of November 2013. And I wish you very interesting and insightful and beautifully dream-filled 4 weeks, while thanking you for listening to yet another episode of The Dream Show. I'm Jane Teresa Anderson.
The Dream Show is a production of Jane Teresa Anderson for the Lifestyle Pod Network. You can find more great podcasts like this one in the Lifestyle Pod Network section of iTunes.